Beloved, I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture that we will use as the backdrop for the word that God has deposited in my spirit and given me liberty to share in your spirit this morning. The first is going to be our preaching passage. We find it in the gospel according to John, the 19th chapter, the 26th and the 27th verses. John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. Then our collateral passage or our support passage is going to come from the Psalms of David, the 133rd division, in the first and second verses. Psalms 133, verse 1 and 2. Now, I know you have your Bibles. I'm going to be coming out of the King James Version of the Bible. You can follow along in your preferred version. John 19, beginning with verse 26, John records, "And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Verse 27 said, Then saith he unto the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that very hour, he took him unto his own home. Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he unto the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took Mary, Jesus's mother, with him unto his own home." Psalms 133, verse 1 and 2. I know you're going to take a little time to go back into the Old Testament. Psalms 133, verse 1 and 2. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. Even Aaron's head ran down upon his beard that went to the skirt of his garment." If I were to put a tag on this message this morning for the time that has been allotted to us to share in the Word of God, it would be family matters. Family matters. Pray with me. Yahweh, the hour is come again that your son, Yeshua, and Yeshua alone must and should be lifted up. For Yeshua said, "And if I be lifted up, I, Yeshua, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me." So lift Jesus up again this morning. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen and amen. Family matters. I believe it was the late 1980s when ABC, in that sitcom, Family Matters, introduced us to the nerdy Steve Urkel. The constant nuisance and almost unrelentingly pesky and intrusive neighbor of the Winslow family, this middle-class black family that lived in a Chicago suburb. For Carl Winslow, a Chicago police officer, and his wife Harriet, an elevator operator, and their three children, Eddie, Laura, and Judy, family was the most important thing that mattered. Sergeant Carr and Harriet Winslow did all they could, Elder Jones, to make sure that their family came together and that the family was taken care of, even if it meant bringing in Harriet's widow sister, Rachel. Carl's cranky mother, Estelle. The nerdy Stephen Urkel. And even Waldo, Laura's strange friend, into their home. But although the Winslows did everything possible to make the family come together and to make family to matter, they always had to deal, Elder Prochet, with the vicissitudes that comes with family matters. Oh, beloved, I declare to you this morning that this made for comedy, for laughter and stress relief sitcom, Family Matters, was one in which we found the Winslow family overcoming the trials and the problems that confronted their family by putting family first. And is not this what we see of our Lord on this hot, dusty and painful Friday as he hangs on the cross beneath the scorching heat of the Palestinians, as he takes time to bring together the family? He takes time to assign his mother to his beloved disciple John, and John to the care of his beloved mother, when he says to both of them, "Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother." Family matters, my friends. Why? Because the family was the first human institution established by God. I can't get no help up in here. The family was the first human institution established by God when he declared in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, "It is not good for the man to be alone. Therefore, I will make for him a helper meet suitable for him. And the Bible tells us that God made the woman from a rib from the side of the man and brought her unto him. And he, with astonishment, declared, "She is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Family matters because, beloved, the family is a representation of the image and the government of God on earth. That's why the enemy is so angry with the family. That's why the devil does everything he can to sow discord in the family, to splinter the family, to divide the family and destroy the family, because by so doing, he is able to destroy God's image on earth and God's purpose for creating humanity. Is anybody listening to me today? Elder Landry, family matters, because it is in the family that the town is birthed, that the city is birthed, that the state is birthed, that the nation is birthed, that the world is birthed, that the church is resident. Family matters. So I invite you this morning to take a walk with me through the teachings of our text. And there we will observe three divine and necessary components of family matters that our Lord shared as he summons and instructs his mother and his beloved disciple to abandon family relationship. Sister Johnson, the first component we see in the teachings of our text is the component of love. Everybody say the component of love. You cannot have a family without love. A matter of fact, we see this right there in the text. The Bible says in John chapter 19 and verse 26a, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. Stop right there. What is it that prompted Jesus to do what he did on the cross? It was because while hanging on the cross, Yeshua saw two people that he loved, two people that were significant to him, two people that mattered to him, two people that meant everything to him. And let me propose to you today, my friends, that Mary and John, the beloved disciple, is a metaphor of all of the families of God in this world. And so Jesus was beginning to show that if we are going to be family, we must operate from the point of love. Love is one of the key components of the family. We must operate from the dimension of God. No wonder the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 that God is love. Oh no, don't get it twisted, my friends. God does not love. God is, oh bless his name, love. God does not show love. No, no, no. God is love. The text says that he that loveth knoweth God, because God is love. And so if we are going to deal with the family, Cousin Phoebe, we must deal from the perspective of godly love. We must deal with the disappointments in the family from the perspective of godly love. We must deal with the hurts in the family from the perspective of godly love. We must deal with the misunderstandings in the family from the perspective of godly love. Now watch this. That does not mean that we must aid in abet bad habits. I wish somebody was listening to me. It does not mean we must sweep under the rug the problems that come up in the family. But what it means, beloved, Minister Nick, is that we must deal with our family matters, and we must deal with them from the perspective of godly love. Now, here's the question, preacher. How do we deal with the family matters from the perspective of godly love? I'm so glad you asked, because our second teachings that we find in our text help us to know how to deal with the family matters from the components, the family matters from the component of love. Thank you, Jesus. And that is the component, Sister Prochet, of legitimacy. Everybody say legitimacy. Oh, I'm in the book. Come with me to John chapter 19 and verse 26b and 27a. This is what Jesus says to his mother, and this is what he says to his beloved disciple. He said, "Woman, this is your son. John, this is your mother." Somebody say legitimacy. You see, beloved, the enemy has splintered and divided and brought a wedge between the family, a schism in the family, where we are always trying to disinherit and disown people because of something that they've done to us. Oh, I saw your cousin. Oh, no, he's not my cousin. She's not my cousin. Did you hear the way he treated me? And she treated, I saw, no, that's not my child. Because we're always trying to follow how the world view family. But Jesus is saying, if you're going to love your family with a godly love, if you're going to treat your family with a godly love, you got to first establish the legitimacy of the family, that this is legitimately my brother. This is legitimately my sister. This is legitimately my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife. I know he gets on my nerves sometimes. I wish somebody were here. I know she takes me off every now and again, but this here man and woman is my real brother and my real sister and my real mother and my real father and my real son and my real daughter. Somebody has to recognize that the family may have issues, but we cannot destroy the legitimacy of the family. Jesus was saying to Mary, you are going to go with John, and sometimes John may not understand what you are going through, and he will be insensitive to you. John, you are going with your mother, and sometimes your mother may get on your nerve. She may say something that's wacky. She may do something that just turns you off. But John, remember, this is your mother and this is your son. I wish somebody would hear me today. Jesus, Yeshua, was authenticating and validating the legitimacy of the family. And it is the legitimacy of the family and the validation, the recognition, and the authenticity of it that causes me, oh, bless his name, to look beyond their fault and still love them. He hurt me, but he's my brother. She talked about me like a dog, but she's my sister. He stabbed me in the back. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me today. But he's my brother. And watch this. Watch this. Family. Oh, bless God. Family, Elder Jones, is not always blood. Here is Jesus taking his mother and now bringing his mother together with his disciple and establishing, authenticating, and validating the legitimacy of family matters. Woman, behold your son. Let me do a little teaching. I won't last on it, but you know, people read this passage and the old King James Version, which I love to read, sometimes make it seems like Jesus was being disrespectful. He didn't say mother, he said woman. Well, first of all, Mary was Jesus's mother because Jesus chose to be incubated in her womb. Jesus is the only man that walked the earth that I know who created his mother before he gave her authority to give him birth. You can't hear me today. And so Jesus was not being disrespectful. The word that Jesus used is the word that we may turn today, lady, ma'am. Ma'am, this is your son. John, this is your mother. I don't care what anybody says. When you go out there, the enemy may try to dig up some paperwork to show that you and Mary don't carry the same bloodline and the same gene. They're going to want to do a DNA to see if Mary is really your mother and if you're really the child of Mary. But John, I'm saying to you on the authority of the fact that I am God and that I created all men, black, yellow, red, and white. They're all my children, and I'm authenticating and legitimizing and validating that this is your mother and this is your son. Now, Sister Green, I sometimes I fuss with the scriptures. I don't know. Don't write me off. Don't judge me. Sometimes, Brother Nick, I fuss with the scripture because I try to find out why is this necessary? And I had to ask the question of the seven last words recorded of Jesus on the cross. Why did Jesus make this statement, the third word on the cross? Elder Prochet, it wasn't necessary. Jesus could have called John, who was one of his favorite disciples. The Bible says he was the one whom Jesus really loved. He loved all of them, but John was like close to his heart. Jesus was not surprised that he was going to the cross. Jesus did not get shocked by the fact that he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told the disciples, "Let us go, because my time is come." They are going to arrest me. They are going to crucify. And Peter said, no, we're not going to let that happen. I will fight to the death. I'll follow you. And Jesus said, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. Jesus knew. Why didn't Jesus pull Mary on the side and pull John on the side and say, "John, I'm going to be crucified and then I'm going to be resurrected and I'll leave and go to heaven, but I need someone to take care of my mother. John, watch my mother. Mom, John's going to look out for you." He could have done it before the cross. He could have done it after the resurrection, because he was 50 days with them before ascending. Every other last word on the cross, Elder Blake, was necessary because it could only occur on the cross. Come with me, watch this. It was on the cross that Jesus was being mocked, scorned, spat upon, bruised, and nailed. And so it was necessary and important for Jesus to say at that point on the cross, on behalf of those who were abusing and violating him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It was on the cross that the thief was hanging, ready to die, had no other way out. I'm talking about the thief on the right. And it was on the cross that he cried and made that petition to Yeshua, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus could not have made that promise to the thief anywhere else. It had to be on the cross that Jesus turned to that thief and gave him, or made for him, a resurrection reservation when he said, "Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Oh, bless his name. It was on the cross, during the agony of his pain, carrying your sin and my sin on his shoulder, that his Father turned his back on him, and the nocturnal blanket of the sky covered in canopy, our Lord, and he had to cry out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus could not have made that cry anywhere else but on the cross. It was on the cross, under the scorching heat of the Palestinian sun, as he hung in that humid, dry air, that his throat was dry, Elder Wilson, and he had to say, "I thirst." He could not have made that statement anywhere else. It was on the cross. It was on the cross, when the fullness of time had come. And for you and me, he must become the ransom for our sins, that he threw back his head and declared, "Tetelestai, it is finished." He could not have done that anywhere else but on the cross. I wish somebody would hear me today. It was on the cross when the deadly, devilish, and evil claws of death was beginning to snuff out his life. And knowing that no man, no woman, nobody on earth had the power or the ability to intern the living God, that Yeshua had to intern himself when he cried, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." He could not have done it anywhere else. Beloved, it had to be on the cross. But why? Why this statement? Why, woman, behold thy son, and John, behold thy mother? Why? It was not necessary on the cross. Well, some pundits, some Bible scholars say, well, Jesus had to do his earthly duty as a son, commanded in the fifth words of the Decalogue, found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. And so Jesus had to find somebody to trust his mother with by honoring his mother. And that's a possibility, and that could be true. Others propose that Joseph had died, because Joseph was an older gentleman that married this teenage girl called Mary. And that in Jewish society, a mother without a son and a husband was considered irrelevant. And so Jesus had to give some relevancy to his mother, since he was the oldest of Mary's children. It was his responsibility to make sure that Mary was cared for. And so he summoned and instructed and employed John to the proper care and welfare of his mother. And that is true, and that's a possibility. But Sister Johnson, I come back to my crazy question. Why on the cross? He could have done that anywhere else and at any time. Well, let me propose to you this morning, my friends, that Jesus was not just taking care of his mother. That Jesus was not just doing his sonly duty as commanded by the Decalogue. That Jesus was not just a compassionate and a sympathetic son, but Jesus as God, oh bless his name, was purposefully and publicly making this declaration to the universe and sending notice to hell and Satan and all of his imps that God, through Jesus, was bringing the family back together, that God was bringing back what devil has torn apart and what the devil has splintered and what the devil has caused to be falling apart, that God, through Jesus, was bringing sons and daughters and boys and girls and husbands and wives back together, that all of the people of God was becoming one again, that the family was becoming one again, that Satan had no more power over the family and the children of God. And so Jesus had to wait until he got on the cross to publicly and purposely say, "Woman, behold your son." John, behold your mother. Satan, beloved, was being given divine notice that I have freed the family of God, and that God and mankind is one again and back together again, because we cannot be one with God, Elder Landry, until we are one with each other. We cannot love God until we love Brother Nick one another. We cannot be faithful to God, and we cannot be legitimately God's until we are legitimately and faithful to one another. And I pray today that no matter what your family is going through, that you employ the love component, that you employ the legitimacy component. And then the third and final component that we see in the teachings of our text is the loyalty component. Hallelujah. Somebody said the loyalty. Watch this. It's in the text. It's in the text. The text says in John chapter 19, verse 27b, and from that hour, oh, bless his name, he took her with him to his own home. Somebody said loyalty. See, you cannot be loyal to somebody that you do not have a legitimate relationship with. You cannot be loyal to somebody that you have a friendship relationship with. But after Jesus authenticated, validated, and established the legitimacy of the family, John had no choice but to be loyal. And Mary had no choice but to be loyal. Mary had to come with John. Mary could have said, you know, I have six other children. I don't know where they are. Huh? I'm going to go find them. No. The Bible said Mary became loyal to John, and John became loyal to Mary. They walked together. They talked together. They lived together. They laughed together. They loved one another. They loved. I wish somebody would hear me today. And I stopped by to tell somebody, I don't know what's going on in your family, but I want you to know that family matters. And if your family is going to be together, if your family is going to be united, if your family is going to be loyal to one another, you must first have the love component, and then you must have the legitimacy component. And the consequence of the love and the legitimacy component is the loyalty component. Hey, I thank God for bringing me back together with my brothers and my sisters and my friends and my family and the church. We need loyalty in the church of the living God, but we will not have it until we establish the legitimacy that you are not my enemy, you are not my nemesis, you are my brother, and I am your sister. Somebody shout hallelujah. Family matters. Because the family is an image of God on earth. The family is a reflection of the government of God on this earth. The family is a metaphor of the purpose and the plan of God on earth. That's why the family was the first earthly human institution that God established. And so I want you to know that in this third last word of the seven last words on the cross, Jesus wants us to recognize that family matters. Your brother matters. Your sister matters. Your son matters. Your daughter matters. Your children, your husband, your wife. The church of the living God matters. We have to deal with our family matters with the love component, the legitimacy component, and the loyalty component. And I want you to know today that when we begin to love one another, when we begin to recognize and authenticate that we are all God's children, that it does not matter where you are born, it does not matter who you are, red, yellow, black and white, we're all precious in His sight. When we recognize and realize that God doesn't have any stepchildren. Hey, hey, when we recognize and realize that God does not have any adopted children, but that we are all God's children, that God through Christ has brought us and we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, then we will love one another. We will treat one another with respect. We will care for one another. We will be sensitive to one another. We will legitimize one another. We will be loyal to one another. How do I know that? Because living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away, and rising, He justified me, freed me forever. And one day, He's coming back, a glorious day. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forevermore of His saving grace, on the streets of glory, there to raise my voice, cares of past, home at last, ever to rejoice. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus one day. Do you want to see Him? Do you want to know Him? Is He coming back to get you? Won't He do it? Won't He do it? Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Family matters, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, my friends, family matters. Take care of your family. They're legitimately your family. Love them. Care for them. Forgive them. Put up with them. But don't aid and abet their wrong. Deal with it with godly love. I want to open the doors of the church this afternoon. Wherever you are part of the family of God. But if you have not made your calling an election that is sure, you do not know Jesus in the saving of your soul. I want to invite you, if you are on Zoom, to just write a note in the chat. Preacher, I want to be a part of God's family because family matters. If you're on Facebook, write in that chat or send us an inbox on Facebook Messenger to the Berean Baton Rouge Facebook page. Say, preacher, I heard the word of God through your lips today. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. We'll work with you. We will study with you. And when COVID blows over, and it's almost beginning to blow over, we're getting ready. In not too long a future, too far a future, we're going to be coming back on our campus, 4555 Fairfields Avenue, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70802. And you can come and be a part of this worship experience where it is like a breath of fresh air. So drop us a note. May you receive the grace, the mercy, and the love of God today. And may you become a part of this great family of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name.